Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the IntraFish Podcast, where we bring you the most interesting and compelling seafood news. I'm editor Drew Cherry, joined today by executive editor John Fiorillo. Wow, what a week. We're seeing a lot of companies in trouble this week. Nova Scotia land-based salmon farming company Sustainable Blue, for example, was placed into receivership at the request of two of its minority shareholders, which is a big deal, not necessarily because of the size of the company. All land-based salmon farmers are essentially small or startups, but it's because a company was tapped to lead the land-based industry in Washington State, if you'll remember. They came onto the scene, signed an LOI with the Washington Department of Natural Resources, and were supposed to create the new land-based salmon farming industry. That looks very unlikely to materialize now. Also, another land-based salmon farmer in trouble, Aqua Bounty, famous for its efforts to develop genetically modified salmon eggs, posted a massive drop in its cash reserves, also on shaky ground. Private equity-backed Brazilian tilapia producer Genesis, which filed for bankruptcy in October 2022, has debts running to $50 million and is struggling to get itself in order for a sale to keep operations continuing. And Blue Star Foods, another company whose future is in, quote, substantial doubt, that's their words, is now facing a $500,000 plus claim from restaurant giant Red Lobster, which also is in a lot of trouble. In February, the CEO, Thirupang Chansiri, expressed his exasperation over their Red Lobster investment by saying, "Red Lobster is over with. We are just waiting for the sale to happen. We do not expect any gain," effectively telling analysts, "Please stop asking me about Red Lobster." They just hired a bankruptcy turnaround executive as their CEO. Who knows if that'll help restore the company to its former glory when all this is said and done. But the big news we were waiting for was about another troubled company, Peter Pan Seafoods, the Alaska seafood processor. We wanted to know what was going to happen in the wake of staff departures, in the wake of fishermen filing liens against the company. It was touted when it was acquired in 2020 as a new era for the company. Now, Peter Pan stretches back decades and decades, one of the oldest Alaska salmon processors, one of the most respected, but it did face challenges like all the Alaska processors, and things just got worse and worse and worse when the Japanese company Maruha Nichiro sold it. They took a $28 million bath on the sale. So already, Peter Pan, the new Peter Pan, was in a position where it had a pretty uphill climb. But, John, we just broke some news about Peter Pan and its future. Rival Alaska seafood processor, Silver Bay Seafoods, a fisherman-owned operation, to the rescue. At least for the time being, maybe slightly brighter than it was an hour ago?
Well, brighter is an interesting word to use here, but let's just go over what we learned and published here just in the last 30 minutes or so. What we know now is Peter Pan has reached a deal with Silver Bay in which Silver Bay will acquire Peter Pan's Valdez, Alaska plant. Now, that has been in the wind for many, many months. It's kind of been an on-again, off-again attempt to reach this deal, and now it appears that it has happened. But the more interesting part is that part of the plan that the companies have made today is going to allow Silver Bay to lease Peter Pan's other processing facilities, the one in Dillingham, Port Moeller. Question is, what's that mean for Peter Pan in general? Is it done? Is it over? I'm not going to make that conclusion because I don't know. Things change rapidly, especially in this sector right now, the Alaska processing sector, where things are extremely volatile. But we do know that they're not technically running those facilities this year. They're leasing them to Silver Bay to run. So big news. Not unexpected that it was going to go this way. We were saying, I think on the last podcast, Drew, when we talked about this, that, the season's just around the corner, the salmon season, I mean. So ducks have to be put in a row now, to pull this off. It takes a lot to get the plants operational, get the staff, blah blah blah, all that stuff. So the timing makes sense, and we'll have to watch what happens from here.
Well, this is going to come as a tremendous relief for a lot of fishermen and a lot of people in these rural communities in Alaska. These communities are extremely remote, and a lot of them really depend on the taxes that they get from the processing companies that operate in these towns. A lot of the fishermen that are based in those communities really rely on the processing companies. When there's this kind of confusion and flux, it's just chaotic. You have to think about it this way. If you are a fisherman in rural Alaska, you have to be thinking about how many crew members am I going to be hiring? How am I going to feed that crew to get my grub stake for the season? How am I going to pay for fuel, for nets? All of these expenses that you need to be paying up front. If you don't know if there's going to be a buyer on the other side of that, that is a very difficult situation to be in. So I have to say that the resolution of the Peter Pan confusion is a huge relief for, I'm sure, many people. There's still a lot in flux that we don't quite know. Trident Seafoods, as we've reported, selling off four of its plants. They announced that at the end of last year. Now they've sold off two of those. Two still remain up for sale, Kodiak and False Pass. And there's still negotiations ongoing for that. We don't really know what's going to happen to the False Pass plant because Peter Pan Seafood owner McKinley Capital, a private equity and financial management firm, was one of the leading bidders. So we don't know to what extent that's still on the table with the Silver Bay news. And this has all happened in the matter of days, not weeks. So a lot still remains in flux. Now, one of the things that the Alaska seafood industry constantly looks forward to is the price that will get paid for their salmon. And we talk a lot about sockeye salmon, and Bristol Bay is the center of the sockeye salmon fishery. And to give folks a sense of just how important that fishery is, how big it is, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, which manages the fishery, it's forecasting a total sockeye salmon harvest of 26 million fish this season. And it's a small season. It's a 35% drop from last year's catch, which was just over 40 million. So it's a big fishery. It's a lot of fish, and it has a huge impact on global markets, not just for salmon, but for all kinds of species. So the base price, what processors are going to pay fishermen, is watched very closely. Incredibly important. There's retailers in Germany, Japan, Australia, China that really want to know what the base price is for what a fisherman on a 32-foot fishing vessel is going to get in Bristol Bay. It's just how crazy the Alaska salmon sector works. John, we do have a little bit of news to report on where the price might be landing this year.
Yeah, and this is one of my favorite non-favorite stories to do every year because it can anger fishermen, it can anger processors sometimes. But let's start with what we think we know. We did about a month of reporting on this, and all indications are the base price this year in the Bay will be somewhere between 60 cents and 70 cents, trending maybe more towards 70. We don't know yet, but we got news today that Ekuk Fisheries, which is now changing its name but going to operate, they have already told their fishermen they're going to base out at 70 cents. So it looks like 60 to 70 cents, which is great. And then, as we know, there's incentive pay, you know, somewhere between 20 to 30 cents in general for proper fish handling. And that means, in some cases, bleeding. Of course, it means temperature control, so the fish are iced or RSW'd.
That's refrigerated seawater, which keeps fish chilled.
Yeah, so the base is wonderfully, I guess you'd say, more than last year when it was only 50 cents, and that triggered massive disruption and anger on the fishing side. The year before last, it was $1.15. So that was an extreme haircut fishermen took last year. And we know a lot of the reasons. The processors are themselves financially underwater in many cases. They had huge inventory that they couldn't sell off. Then the retail market in Europe, in the U.S., basically crashed because of inflation, so no product was moving. Those kind of factors put them on a collision course with tough times. And they're trying to work their way out, obviously. Trident is selling some plants to help it improve its bottom line and things like that. And, of course, we know what we just said about Peter Pan. They're probably the hardest hit by this right now, but they're not the only ones. So, I don't want to seem like I'm picking on Peter Pan, because that's not fair. But nevertheless, it looks like 60 to 70 cents. It's not going to make fishermen jump for joy, but it's probably not going to make them scream, madly either. I think a lot of fishermen probably expected this price, but I don't want to speak for them, because I don't sell fish. I don't buy fish. I can't say, but anyways, yeah. So that's where things are.
Well, it sounds like for now, some much needed stability coming into the Alaska salmon sector.
I hope so. Holy Moses. This has been a crazy year and a half, that's for sure.
Let's switch gears. Let's go to farm salmon, the arch rival, kind of arch rival of wild salmon. Now, interesting numbers out of Norway. Norwegian salmon actually dropped in exports for the first time in 3 years, according to statistics released on the first quarter just this week. So, quite interesting. Norway exported around 250,000 metric tons of salmon, still a lot of salmon, worth around $2.6 billion, 2.4 billion euros in the first quarter. But the exports were down by 2% by value, but 6% by volume. It's a lot. The fall was attributed to reduced production and lower harvest volumes, and that was due in part to lower sea temperatures. But, I'm wondering if this indicates a trend in consumption around the world. And it's always a little worrying for the industry when salmon has trouble, because when salmon sneezes, the rest of the seafood industry gets a cold. John, what did you make of these stats?
Yeah, it was a bit surprising, but the more I think about it, salmon prices have been, at the wholesale level and at the retail level, have been, trending higher and higher for quite a while now. And it didn't seem to impact demand, and I'm speaking at least for the U.S. market, but other markets as well. But it didn't seem that the higher prices were impacting demand until maybe now. And it's too early to know, but a 6% drop in volume exports is pretty big. I mean, it's something that should be noticed and paid attention to. So is this the beginning of a consumer pushback on pricing? I don't know. You know, we're all talking about, oh, inflation's lower and all that, and it is, but a trip to the grocery store is still very expensive compared to where it was a few years ago. So there's only so much money consumers can spend, and you've got chicken coming down in price, you've got pork coming down in price, you've got beef to a lesser extent coming down in price. So we'll see. I mean, let's give it a month or two, and we'll be getting the U.S. Retail sales data figures here in a week or so, and that might shine a little more light on what's happening with salmon, in particular in the U.S. market.
Yeah, well, on the U.S., that is a bright spot for Norway and has been for quite some time, increasingly seeing the U.S. market grow for Norway. Just a reminder, too, with the weakening Norwegian krone, that also adds a little wrench into the whole mix here, especially on the value side of what suppliers are going to be getting for their products. But just looking at the U.S., you know, it's been a really, really remarkable bright spot for Norway. If you dial it back just 10 years ago, there was about 18,000 metric tons of salmon that was being exported from Norway into the United States. Now, just in 10 years, and this is a remarkable testament both to the growth in salmon consumption, but also to Norway's ability to develop a market, which I think there's very, very few other seafood sectors that you can credit in this same way for when Norway puts its mind on developing a market. Wow, it really does. So let's look just from that time in 2013. We've gone up to last year. We ended the year in 2023 at nearly 72,000 metric tons of salmon imported from Norway. So talking about about tripling from where it was. And the value of Norway's exports to the United States topped $1 billion for the first time in 2023. So you can see why Norway sees it as such an important market, and why they've invested so much in promoting it as well.
Yeah, and I can't remember the exact figures, but their marketing budget, Norwegian Seafood Council's marketing budget, came out a few months ago or something, and you know the biggest portion of the money was being targeted at the U.S. market. So, and as we've said before on the podcast, the numbers are, you know, really good for the growth in the U.S. salmon market. So, you know, every indication is that this is a blip, perhaps.
You take a look at Chile's exports in the United States as well. I think it's quite interesting that there may be some reason for Chile to be a little bit nervous. Just not too long ago, 2015, Chile had about $1.1 billion in exports of salmon to the U.S. Chile has, for a long, long time, been the largest exporter of salmon into the U.S. and been had a very, very strong market here, along with Canada, of course, just right next door. But it's really, really fascinating to see the growth in Norway and how far it's come. At 71,000 metric tons, it's still below where Chile was a decade ago, but this is all product that is not really coming at the expense of Chile right now, which is quite interesting. Chile's exports have grown really handsomely since 2023 as well into the U.S. They've more than doubled. So it is really, you know, everywhere we've gone in conferences and all the folks that we've talked to, there is a recognition that while there's challenges in the rest of the world, Norway's struggling somewhat with some of the European markets. The U.S. Should be a really, really positive sign, I think, for the salmon industry, but also just the broader seafood industry that's looking for some bright spots right now for the industry.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that salmon's the juggernaut in the U.S. market for sure, has been for a while. It'll be interesting to see. I know we were just talking about wild salmon, so it'll be interesting to see when the wild salmon starts moving through the market this summer, if we'll move up in those wholesale prices, which have been so lousy for a while. And I've talked to a few processors over the last 3 weeks who seem to be seeing signs that could be happening, that there's some recovery in prices. They, you know, it was too early to tell, but there were some early indications that things might be moving up as we head into the season. You know, the beauty is, like, Bristol Bay is a small harvest this year compared to the last couple of years, and more of a harvest that's in line with, you know, the average. So in a way, fewer fish out of there could likely help raise the price for those fish as well.
Well, the good news, I think, for wild and farm right now is that prices are trending up again. Seasonally, there always is a decline as you kind of head deeper toward the end of the year for Norwegian salmon. So we are at a point where it tends to be some pretty good news around this time on price. I mean, if you look at last year, at 2023, we had record high prices earlier in the year, and we are now approaching those. We're at really, really, really high prices right now for salmon, and that's continued. This week there were some hiccups, but that's a pretty good sign for all of the seafood industry to see that demand is holding kind of firm. So even though we have these numbers showing that exports are falling a bit by value and by volume out of Norway, demand is still there. It's a little unclear who's continuing to prop it up. Maybe it is the U.S. and there are some other markets that are showing some promise once again, where they kind of fell off the radar a bit. China is one of those. It's kind of surging back to life for salmon. So it should be interesting to see, as you said, John, heading into kind of the summer season when people get a bit more active and want to barbecue and want to eat outside and, have a little more fun. Let's see what happens with these prices.
That'll be telling. I know I have a side of salmon sitting in my freezer that I need to I need to break out and throw on the barbecue here. So maybe tonight. We'll see.
So, John, the retail data that we had coming through the first part of the year was actually, we had some really good news through February about a lot of the different segments. And so that's kind of possibly a bright spot. Any signs you think that'll continue? We're going to see those numbers in about a week or so, but do you care to hazard a guess on where they might be going?
I think we're going to see a slow crawl upward. And one of the reasons I do think that is, you know, everything's local, right? So where I shop, I think I've said this on the podcast before, for the longest time up until very recently, the store, and it's a Kroger affiliate, so it's not like a tiny little grocery store, they haven't been putting seafood on special. It's not really in the circulars. They weren't doing what normally they would do and promote seafood. Now, in the last, I would say since the first of the year, I'm seeing a big change in that. I'm seeing shrimp being promoted almost weekly. Salmon is being promoted. And then, you know, miscellaneous other rockfish and things like that come in. So given that, I would say, I'm kind of optimistic that March is going to show us another slow uptick. We're going to see a drop in inflation, a drop in prices, and a a slow climb in volume sales, which is what we watch closely. So that would be my guess, just on my limited local behavior here in the market I live in. So but we'll see. We'll see.
Well, I'm gonna coast just on hope and just my views of the macroeconomic climate, and I do expect that we'll see a climb in the U.S. in sales again, especially on the frozen side of things. So I feel pretty optimistic, actually, just based on the consumer data that we're seeing. I remain pessimistic and uncertain about the European markets. In particular, I'm very concerned about, as we just discussed, salmon. And with the rise in production fish, which is a huge challenge and concern among processors in Europe about getting the volumes that they need, I think that we're in a little bit more flux there, and as well as in the UK. I mean, just as an example, the last 12 months to the end of February, UK retail showed that the rise in prices was already having a pretty big dampening effect on volume sales. Frozen was an exception there, so fish fingers in particular saw a 2% rise in volume sales despite a 2.4% rise in price. That's pretty impressive. But cod, salmon, still an issue. Big concerns. A 12 and 13% rise in price per kilo for cod and salmon at retail. And that led to a drop of 2.7% for salmon and 10% for cod in volume sales. So not great. Europe, maybe a little better. Inflation numbers from March just came out. They were down slightly. According to Eurostat, food inflation fell to 2.7% from 3.9%. So that might put a spring in consumer steps and get them to the seafood aisle. But similarly, John, I'm going to be bearish on Japan, one of the seafood consuming powerhouses, because we saw this week numbers showed Japanese household spending dropping for the 12th straight month. And you could really see the direct result of food inflation and consumption there. And that extends to seafood as well. I won't go through every country in the world, but I'll just add that China, of course, continues to struggle economically. But the optimist that I am, I think the seafood industry is due for a little good luck. So, hey, let's hope consumption at food service and retail takes a little turnaround. That's my prediction, John.
I think that's solid.
That's it for this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. Just a reminder, you can go to intrafish.com and find us there 24/7. Our podcast can be downloaded at Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcasts. So go there, download it, follow it so that you can get the episode every week when it comes out each Thursday. And then you don't have to go hunting around for it to find it. It'll just be right there on your mobile device. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.